The title of my sermonette today, my message is Walk in the Light. The world today enjoys a joke. We all enjoy a joke, and one that I've heard many different versions of this, depending upon the situation, and it often happens at work. Maybe someone is changing a light bulb on their lamp, or someone opens the light in a closet or something like that. Anyway, that's not that important part. But someone who's nearby might say to you, "Don't go to the light." And of course, the reference is that the light symbolizes the death that we hear reported in the news or the National Enquirer or something like that by those who've suffered some trauma or claim to have come back from the dead and the other side, as they call it. And they say, "I saw a bright light." And so the joke is that if you go into the light, you're a dead person. But ironically and conversely, our world today truly glamorizes and glorifies the darkness and the related aspects of death along with the darkness. And they make it into a hideous thing. And I've mentioned this before in sermonettes prior, but there's a fascination today, certainly, and Hollywood is quite responsible for promoting this, but a fascination with the Gothic and the notion of pale, but obviously always fit and attractive vampires or other creatures of the darkness, as they call it. And for Hollywood, I think the message is always that darkness, in their frame of reference, is akin to good, and it's akin to something to be desired and sought after, and in their view of what they're presenting, the basis of something they consider to be an eternal life. And that's why I say ironically and conversely, because obviously those who have been called understand the truth and what is accurate as it relates to darkness and light. And I think many of us recognize that we would be considered in our society less cool, if you will, to quote the Bible in this day and age, rather than to quote a line from, say, Game of Thrones, which is very popular. And with the very wintry spring up until yesterday that we've had here in Colorado, we've had a lot of snow and rain and cold temperatures. I've joked when I've gone into work in the morning that winter is coming, and apparently, I've not seen the show, but apparently this is a line from Game of Thrones, and people at work nod very approvingly at me like, "Yeah, I'm one of them," and as though I was a true devotee of the show, and they understand that somehow that observing that is translates into how they live their lives, which is very interesting. They would not be as approving, I think, of any kind of a biblical reference I might make to the continued rain day in and day out that we had. And that just always, that has struck me in the last couple of weeks as very ironic and very, very interesting and very funny, as I would then walk on to my office. But we all know that pursuit of this world and in this world of the carnal will not yield eternal life as Hollywood and publications promote and promise through darkness. And it's just the opposite. Martin Luther King said, probably in the 50s, very early 60s, that darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. It's interesting to me that from an early age, most of us were not thrilled or not thrilled about the darkness, or specifically walking out to a darkened kitchen to get that drink of water, because bathroom water is not the same as kitchen water. We all know that in terms of the taste. But going out to that darkened kitchen just seems like the worst possible fate we could have at 10 o'clock at night when everyone else is on the other side of the house. Now, David understood this, well, maybe not the reference to the kitchen and going to get the drink of water, but in Psalm 19, if you want to turn there with me to Psalm 19 and beginning in verse 104, and we'll just carry that through verse 105, we can read and see David's perspective and the clarity. Beginning in verse 104, I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every false way. And then it goes on to add the punch to the point in verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So for David, clearly, that's where David sought his guidance, was not from the darkness, but from the light that he recognized as coming from God. Jesus Christ offers us the hand that we all so desired and maybe still do to walk into that kitchen at night and to not be alone. Satan does not want us to be confident about that relationship, does not want us to be confident about anything in this life as believers. He does not want us to focus on God's word and the example of Jesus Christ. And of course, as we know, in many scriptures, he attempted to turn Jesus from the path of the Father with what? With accoutrements of this world that related to the darkness of this world. And he would prefer that we not turn our face to the light. Turn with me now to John 1. And in verse 5, we'll read, and again, John 1, verse 5. John tells us that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Much as Jesus Christ overcame the world, as he so pointedly pointed out to us, and the light of God overcomes the darkness. Jesus left no room for doubt in our minds or in our hearts and in what we were to follow. And then further down in John, in John 8, and in verse 12, we read, and this is something that should truly guide our lives, and that dichotomy between light and dark. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is and will be our bright morning star and the star of our future. We also know that we, too, are directed by God to let our light shine before men and women. We should not boast, but we should not hide the light of our belief and the charge we have in this life. We cannot do this, however, if we are focused on glorifying the darkness of this world. We can only do it by focusing on the light of Jesus Christ.